T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Newsbreaker line is Fred Cash. Mr. Cash has been a member of the Impressions since 1960. And Mr. Cash, it is an absolute honor to speak to you. I am a huge fan of the Impressions and the music that you and Sam Gooden and Curtis Mayfield put together over the years. And it is an honor to speak to you. Let me start. You actually replaced Jerry Butler, in effect, didn't you?
That's right. That's right. Well, we had started the group here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I was just too young. My mother wouldn't let me go to Chicago, and that's where they picked up Jerry, and Jerry stayed with the group for 6 months. After Jerry departed, went on a solo, doing a solo for himself. Then they came back and got me.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is true or not, but the apocryphal story that I read about that happening was that Curtis and Sam and the Brooks Brothers drove from Chicago to Chattanooga to your house and said, "Fred, you're coming with us. That's all there is to it." Is that true?
That's right. Well, when they first pulled up L.A., my mother, like I said, I was young. She wouldn't let me go. But them guys had a big roll of money in their hand, man, and I saw it, and my mother saw it. She said, "Yeah, he can go. He can go." So, hey, man, that was my entrance to the Impressions.
And, yeah, again, you've been there since 1960, so you were there for the first few lean years before Gypsy Woman. If I remember correctly, the Brooks Brothers, Albert and Richard, actually sang lead on a couple of singles that didn't go anywhere. And there were, you know, you had some time there where some pretty good records, Minstrel and Queen and things like that, that were released and didn't really click, and you didn't hit it until Gypsy Woman in 61. And at that point, you were still a quintet because the Brooks Brothers were still there, right?
That's right. Well, the Brooks Brothers, as you know, the Little Richard, he was hot back in those days, and they wanted to kind of emulate him, and we kind of told them, "Hey, man, we need to get our own style," and they didn't really care for that, so they said, "Well, hey, we're just going to quit, and we're going to End Records," so that left just the three of us, me and Kurt and Sam, you know?
Yeah.
And we put out that Gypsy Woman, and hey, man, everything started happening after that.
Everything, all these years later, and Gypsy Woman is still considered among the that tiny group of songs that are all-time classics. It's funny you mentioned Little Richard, because now that I think about it, the one, I don't know if it was Albert or Richard who sang lead on Believe in Me, but he's screaming, "Believe in Me," on that. And I thought, boy, that doesn't sound like, you know, fits any Impressions at all. But, I mean, he was really wailing.
Yeah, that was Richard singing that.
That was Richard, okay.
He was screaming, man. I'm telling you. Yeah, his name was Richard Brooks.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was doing lead on that. You were right.
Over the next few years, a couple of things. The Impressions were so inventive. One thing that some of the other groups would catch on later. One thing that you, Sam and Curtis did was on some of those songs, there wasn't really a lead singer. You had one line, then Sam would answer you, then Curtis would answer you, then it would be, a whole group thing. That was tremendously innovative at the time, and a bunch of groups would ape that later on. Whose idea was that? I assume that was Curtis Mayfield's, but I don't know that for sure.
That was Curtis's idea because he wrote most of those hits. And like you said, I'd have a line, Curtis have a line, Sam would have a line, then we'd all come together and sing as a group. then we'd go back out the same way. Kurz have a line, yep. Sam have a line, I'd have a line, you know. So it just really caught on, you know, and from that point on, man, I mean, the hits just kept rolling, you know, with the It's All Rights and the Keep On Pushing and the People Get Ready and yep. I'm So Proud. And I am just thankful for all of those records, man. They really took us to some beautiful places, you know?
Well, the American public is thankful for those records. I know I am. As I said, I was a huge... I'm not going to sit here and tell you I have everything you ever recorded, but I think most of your anthology I have. I have a ton of questions about some individual records and also some of the social consciousness that crept into it later. But can I ask you to hold on through a four-minute commercial break?
Yeah.
All right. We're speaking with Fred Cash, an all-time R&B legend. He's been a member of the Impressions since 1960. They're coming up in Bethlehem on April 2nd. And we'll get back to Mr. Cash in just a couple of minutes.
Back to L.A. Tyrone on WILK.
All right. It's 5:44 on this Monday afternoon, and we're speaking with Fred Cash, member of the Impressions since 1960, but of course most of you have already known that. Fred, when we talk about the sound of the Impressions, one name has to pop them out here someplace. That was Johnny Pate. And Curtis and Johnny Pate came up with that, I guess it's horns as percussion sound, that again, within a few years, everybody was imitating. I think if you listen to a Motown record from the late 60s, that it is a derivative of that sound that Curtis and Pate came up with.
That's right. Well, you know, we consider Johnny Pate, who was our arranger at that time, as one of the Impressions, you know, because, hey, man, he started putting those horn chops together.
Yep.
And it really made a difference in our music and what we was trying to do, you know. And we just, the four of us, Johnny Pate, Curtis Mayfield, Sam and myself, we just hung together all the time. And I talked to Johnny not long ago. He's living in Texas. He's 90-some years, I think,
hey.
91 years old, but he's still doing well.
Good for him. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Didn't Motown sue over that? Because I have an original 45 of Can't Satisfy, and the song is credited to Curtis Mayfield, but then I have a Best of the Impressions CD, and it's credited to Sylvia Moy and Henry Cosby and all these guys from Motown.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Curtis knew they was going to take that record. You know, he said, man, I know Motown's going to take this record away from us, but I just love this sound of this particular song that I wrote. You know, I Can't Satisfy. And, man, it sounds just like something Motown would have done, you know?
It does!
And sure enough, they very glad it took that record.
I always took
they
that...
Took it.
To me, it sounds a little bit like the Isley Brothers' "This Old Heart of Mine." And
that's right.
I always took that as Curtis's way of sort of throwing the middle finger to Motown, saying, you're stealing my arrangements, so guess what?
That's right. That is so true, L.A., you know. And he knew that they was going to take that record because he had told Sam and myself, man. But I just wanted them to know, hey, we can do some of this too, you know. And that's what happened. And he didn't mind letting it go. He didn't mind.
I read that he did not defend the suit. He said, okay, go ahead, take the song. Because the settlement was they got the songwriting, Motown got whatever songwriting credits were on Can't Satisfy, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Get another great song right before that, You've Been Cheated, which, I mean, God, you guys, in the late 60s, you were on such a roll. And sometimes I love the B-side more than the A-side, so it's hard to remember what was the A-side and what was the B-side. But you were just on such a roll there in the mid to late 60s. And then, you know, I guess starting with Keep On Pushing. But then, you know, there was We're a Winner. and choice of colors. You took on a more socially significant role. And was that taken with any risk? Did you say, gee, we're going to alienate it, some of our white fans with this? Or was it, well...
No, not really, L.A. You know, most of those songs, a lot of the white radio station would not play those songs. WLS in Chicago, one of the big radio stations, 50,000 watts. When we got ready to do We a Winner,
yeah,
it was such a big song, but hey, we couldn't get it played on WLS radio. And it was just sad because I don't think that they really paid any attention as far as listening to see what these songs were talking about. The same thing with Choice of Colors. We went out to California to do a television show, and we was in rehearsal, getting ready to do it for the television show. The producer came out and said, hey, y'all can't do that song on this show. But the interviewer came out, and he said, well, is this your hit record? We say, yeah, this is our hit record. This is why we are on this show. So he came up and said, well, hey, y'all can do this song. And we did it on that particular show, you know. But some of those records, man, you know, it caused some friction, but over time, I think a lot of the jocks and the public really paid attention to what was happening to those songs and started loving them. Now, even when we went all down through the South to the Choice of Colors, and all the people would come up and say, hey, man, will y'all do Choice of Colors? And they started listening and paying attention to what was going on with those songs, and they become to love them.
Well, Choice of Colors is one of those songs that just asks some very uncomfortable questions. I thought the way Curtis wrote that was absolutely brilliant. I mean, if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brother? If there were no day or night, which one would you prefer to be right? It's a series of questions, and at the end of it, you're standing there going, I don't know how to answer some of those. You know, and I mean, I'm white. But I thought that was brilliant, and I did an oldie show at a station that doesn't exist here anymore for 12 years, and I can tell you I played We're a Winner and Choice of Colors very, very often, and most of my listeners, I never heard a complaint about any of them.
Well, most of those songs, L.A., were big records. I mean, huge hits, and you know, I can sit here and think about it now because I'm going to be retiring this year.
You are?
And I look at what we've done, man. We've sold over 70 million records, you know. And that is just something great. Who would think little guys from Chattanooga, Tennessee, sitting on the corners, singing would one day sell that many records?
Well, I'll tell you what, Fred, your lasting impact is not only that very impressive number of records you sold, but how much influence you had both at the time. I mean, I listened to some records that were recorded in the 60s by some vocal groups, and I think they're trying to sound like the Impressions. That sounds just like an Impressions record. But even to this day, your sound, the sound that you, Sam, and Curtis put together, I don't even know that the kids know who the Impressions were, but they know that sound, and that's your sound that they're still doing today. So
that's so true, you know. And speaking of the backsides of those hits, you know, we are headed to London in June of this year. And, man, they play a lot of those backsides of those hits.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to do now. We have to do the backsides now, you know. But, hey, it's just an honor to be able to go over there and the way those people really love your music, you know.
Well, Fred, I'm running out of time. You are playing in Bethlehem in the next, just a few days on Sunday, April 2nd. You want to tell us what's on the bill that day?
That's right. Well, hey, man, you know, it's going to be a pleasure to come there and to perform for our audience, you know. I don't know if I've ever played Bethlehem. I can't remember playing that. This might be our first time, and, hey, it's going to be an honor.
Well, Fred, I got to tell you, you know what I think? Well, among my favorite things you ever did is, do you remember a song called You Oughta Be in Heaven?
Oh, yeah.
You oughta be in heaven, singing
That's
with
right.
the angels there.
That's right. Yeah, I definitely remember that.
I want everybody to note this date, because on this date, Tyrone got to sing with Fred Cash, even if it was on the phone. That's astounding. Fred Cash, it has been an absolute honor to speak to you. Thank you very much, and good luck.
L.A., you the best, man, and I hope I get a chance to meet you when we come down the second.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.